We can hear someone screaming as soon as we get off the elevator. At first, it's hard to tell what the person is saying. The sound swells and fades, a high-pitched moving ribbon of noise. But as we walk down the narrow hallway, my mother reaches for my hand. I can hear the word, out. And then, out of here. And then, let me out! We hang up our coats and lock my mother's purse and my father's keys in a metal locker. The screaming rises and falls. My mother glances at my father, and I can tell what she's thinking. We should have left Elena at home. We have to walk through a metal detector. The button on my jeans sets it off with a beep, and a security guard with a sagging belly gestures toward me and waves a wand up and down in front of my stomach. "Any knives?" he asks. "What?" My brain is numb because of the screaming. "Let me out! Let me out! Let me go!" It fills the hall and seems to suck up the air all around us.
"Do you have any knives?" the guard asks. "Anything sharp? Corkscrews, Swiss Army knives, nail files, knitting needles, razor blades, paper clips, scissors?"
He looks tired. The bags under his eyes match the bag of his belly. "Not with me," I say stupidly, as if admitting that I have left my knife and scissor collection downstairs in the lobby.
"All right, go ahead then."
The screaming continues. We come to a door with a small window in it. The thick, heavy glass in the window is cross-hatched with wire. My father presses a button like a doorbell on the wall.
"Can I help you?" A crackling voice emerges from the intercom.
"For Dora Lint," my mother says, leaning forward on her tiptoes and speaking into the metal box by the doorbell. "We're her family. Her parents and her sister." Through the narrow window in the door, I can see two men partly dragging and partly carrying a screaming person toward us. It's a tall, skinny girl dressed in gray pajama bottoms and a dark green t-shirt, and she is flailing with all her might, hurling her body back and forth, her long, wheat-colored hair whipping one of the men, who is probably twice her size, across the face. My mother and father and I all stare at her, as if watching some terrible new reality TV show. "Oh my God," my mother says. The screaming girl lifts her head and looks toward the window and meets my gaze. Her eyes are green and unfocused. Her face is a mask. "She almost looks like Dora," I say. And then my mother falls down in the hallway beside me, and the screaming girl on the other side of the glass is dragged into a room by the two men, who quickly lock her away. Chapter 2. How did my sister fall through a hole in her life and into some other life below? I'm not sure how it happened. Sometimes I still have trouble believing that it happened at all. Chapter 3. It was a regular afternoon after school in September. Dora was at the kitchen table dipping crackers into milk. She was the only person I knew who liked soggy crackers.
"You're going to have to clear off the table soon," my mother said,
"and put that box of crackers away. I'm making dinner." Dora kept dipping. Up, down, up, another wet cracker.
"We're having spaghetti," my mother said.
I picked up my books and put them in my backpack.
"Have you both finished your homework?" my mother asked.
The school year had just started. I was in 9th grade and Dora was in 11th. We were in high school together for the first time.
"Not yet," I said.
"I still have Spanish. I have to conjugate los verbos."
"What about you, Dora? Do you have homework?"
My sister shrugged in slow motion. She was almost 5'10" and bony. I used to tell her she looked like a praying mantis.
Your grades weren't very good last year, my mother said. You have so much potential. You need to apply yourself and get organized. What did you do with that calendar I bought you? Like me, my mother was the sort of person who enjoyed making lists and then crossing things off them. Dora didn't answer. I had seen the calendar on the floor of her bedroom, most of the dates blacked out with pen. You'll want to start thinking about college soon, my mother said. Instead of moping around the house, you should join a club or go out for a... Don't, Dora said. She opened her fingers like a hinge and let go of the cracker, which slid to the bottom of her glass. My mother put a pot of water on the stove. I could tell she was getting annoyed, but was trying not to show it. Sometimes I wish I could get inside that head of yours and find out what you're thinking. She paused and looked more carefully at Dora. You haven't brushed your hair, she said. You used to keep your hair so neat. I wish I was dead, said Dora.